Blog Talk Radio.
Your bags, love. I know in the past, love has been sort of hard on you, but I see the God in you. I just want to nurture it. Though this love may hurt a bit, we dealing with this water, love. You even give my daughter love. I want to build a tribe with you, protect and provide for you. Truth is, I can't hide from you. The pimp in me may have to die with you.
Come close to me, baby. Come close.
To discover me, I just want you to be trusting me. I kinda laugh when you cussing me. The aftermath is you touching me. It's destiny that we connected, girl. You and I, we can affect the world. I'm tired of the fast lane. I want you to have my last name. Yeah, love.
Take y'all back a little bit. made a profile on Tinder. Since you left me to be with her, the thing that means I'm getting desperate. Wish I could return to sender, but you don't love me no more. And I don't even know what for. Knew it was real when you blocked me. Now I sit at home judging my body, wondering what I did to lose it. Why in the hell you think choosing? Why you don't love me no more? Yeah, and I don't even know what for. Nah, I just wanted something different. Still don't know what I was missing. What you asked, I was giving. It ain't right. I'd either do it. What are you in? Maybe I should look like a stripper, wearing fashion over dresses. All the dudes be so pressed and impressed. But if you leave me with no choice, oh, I can't do this good girl shit no more. You're wanting something different. You don't know what I was missing. What you asked, I would've given.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome back to another episode of War Council here on the 50 Radio Universe, the Starship of the Real Entertainment Network, where we boldly go where poems and words take us, you know, where we've never been before. Now, this is an abbreviated version of War Council. I've been off, I've been moving, my son graduates from med school, got stuff going on, what's happening, craziness all going on. But, you know, we're getting our feet wet with that. Topics going on. We're going to add as we go along and stuff, man. But I'm joined by my two bestest friends in the entire world, the yin and yang, male and female. I've got LaPearl the Nigger, a.k.a. Danielle Cheney, a.k.a. the favorite Philly John. Danielle, what's good?
Hey, hey, what's good? What's good? Gentlemen, gentlemen, how y'all doing?
Yo, I'm just telling you.
Hey, how you doing?
Yo, this is crazy. Do I sound super clear or what?
Yes, you do actually.
Yo, it's like, yo, like the service sucks. Like, I was worried about it, but the Wi-Fi is like, I got this. Like, you know how you pay extra for the Wi-Fi? You're like, I want my joint banging, and they give you, like, a funny-looking one, so I got the funny-looking one. And so it's nuts because, you know, this kid's watching One Piece in the background. Everybody's on talking, and there's no, like, nothing is slow. So I'm like, I'm really enjoying it. So I was like, yo, hopefully Wi-Fi will carry me through. I'm talking to you through my earphones, which is sounding super good right now. I'm like, yo, I couldn't do this in the old house. This is nuts. Right, but while we're at it, I'm joined by the man from Shaolin, my favorite dude, the man who tells me when I'm wrong, I'm wrong, when I'm right, I'm right, and he kicks the Willy Bobo like no one else. Give it up for Dawood Muhammad, my best friend. Y'all give a round of applause.
What's up, y'all? How you doing, Daniel?
I'm good. I'm really good. Tired, but I'm good. I'm glad to be here, though.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
I literally just ended my life and jumped right on you.
Yeah,
so I tried to catch it.
You know what? I tried to catch it, but I have so much going on at one time. Sometimes I just have to peek in for a hot second and jump back out.
It'll be there. It'll be there. It's there forever. Eventually, I'm going to record all of these and redistribute it when I get around to it. But it'll be there.
Okay.
Or maybe I will pay Giannis to do that.
Hey, hey.
That can happen.
You know, that's her skill. She's talented at that.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I think, you know, I had that whole thing that. So I was like, yo, anything else? Wow, that's really playing in the background. That's nuts.
What, the music?
So
it sounds good though.
Yeah,
no. We can.
Yeah, that's
not interfering.
It makes for a pleasant atmosphere. I'm just us right now. But the music in the background, it makes for a pleasant atmosphere while we're talking. It's kind of soothing,
yep.
You know, the level of it and everything. Yeah.
No, it's crazy, but, you know, it's dope. So, you know, we came here to have some conversation, talk about things, get things going in the background so we know how we rocking, when we're rocking. So we have a whole bunch of stuff. Popping in the background. Listen, no,
you
stop
popping
over there. You're allergic. Yeah, no. What are you doing? Sorry. Who?
Oh.
Listen. Go that way. Sorry. Y'all just walking around. I keep forgetting. That's the other thing. You can walk around. Live. You can really walk around the house. Like, and I'll sit at the table. Boy, get on your phone.
I'm happy for you, bro. Ever since you moved in there, you can't stop talking about it. I'm very happy for you.
Uh-huh. I am too. You can tell when somebody's happy, right? Because they keep talking about it. I love it, though. I'm the biggest cheerleader, I'm trying to tell you.
but it's crazy because it's like even though I still got mad wild stuff in the living room, you can move around. And the funny thing is, like, I was trying to, like, look at, like, furniture. Like, I was trying to look, setting up my workstation in the house so I could do stuff. And so I was running around, like, yo, I can get this and put this up as a workstation, do this, like this, blah, blah, blah. you know, because I was like, I got to press up some, I got to press up some stuff. But like, I came up with some original ideas. It's different when you're not cramped and you're not on top of each other. You don't have ambulances going by. You don't have, like, Dawu was making fun of me, but it's true. Like, you don't hear the smoke detector going off in the background. You know.
Yep.
Like, you know. You know.
Well, here's a fun fact, though. You will always see ambulances go by me because I live right next door to an ambulance.
Yep, but see, that's all it is. Like right now,
I don't even hear it no more. Y'all gonna hear it. I don't hear it.
You know, but it's wild. Like it's wild. Like it's brand new carpeting. It's plush. Like you step on it, you fall into the carpet. Like, it's weird stuff. So, you know, it's like you know, you walk around. I'm like, yo, I haven't even begun to use the benefits, but it's my Fat Boy week. Next week, I'm in the gym. They got a gym over there. I'm gonna be in there. Hand it down.
Oh, man.
You know,
that's awesome.
This is the summer of Mo. Summer of Mo. I'm taking it all back. I was like, there was a time when I was losing weight crazy, trimming the stomach down. I could sit down. My stomach wasn't sticking out so far. It was great. Anyway, let's get to our topic. Let's get into the topic. So first things first, right? We're going to talk, I put a couple things in the chat. We're going to bring some of those things up. But the first thing we're going to talk about is Ebony K. Williams. I know that Dawu, you just covered it in your live just a few minutes ago. All right, and
just a little bit.
Just a little bit. But we want to talk about this whole Ebony K. Williams because, like, I actually, you know me, I like to study people beforehand and see where everything is. You know, she's supposed to be the super lawyer, but she's actually not. She was a public defender.
No, she's a public defender, son.
She's a public defender.
She's a public defender.
Right?
Yeah.
So everybody had us thinking like she was this person, and then it's like no, and then she wasn't even a public defender for a very long time. She was a public defender for a very short time. So she has the skills of a lawyer, but she has not developed, like, she hadn't been there long enough to really know what she was doing. Now with all the skills and negotiating, you, truth be told, you learned everything you need to know about law in your first year. And then you graduate into different things that give you the specialties in your second and your third year. You know, so your first year, you learn the process and the idea of how to do certain things. You're technically a lawyer your first year. That's the reason why you can work as a lawyer underneath another lawyer. There's also a thing called reading the law, which allows you in 5 years, like, you can basically read the law, be under a lawyer for that amount of time, you know, and have certified things, and then you can go and take the bar in any state. That's usually how it works. But most people don't know that stuff. That's different. You know, and then they have different things that they're doing now. Like, most people, like, California has a thing where you can do things. Like, even New York State just adopted a low-residency ABA program. It's ABA certified them in Vermont, which permits you to do most of your studying and your coursework online, but you have to come to the campus for 2 weeks out of every semester. You know, so, like, it's happening in the fact of seeing law in different ways. But even with that, she was not practicing as a lawyer long enough to really get her feet underneath her. She's not like a Ari Melber from MSNBC. She's not like that, where Ari Melber was absolutely a god.
And plus, the public defender's max money is like $60,000.
Yeah, and that's the
max you get paid as a public defender.
But here's the ultimate thing, which is crazy, is that no, it's okay. What also goes down is that most of the people, like, they tell people, like, they, how people are pleading out. Most people will plead you out just to get the cases off. They're supposed to not have more than 30 cases in a year. I mean, so most places, depending if you're in New York, you get 30 cases in a month. You know, you might have 10 cases within a day, depending on what it is. You know, and so some people are trying to get that if they didn't come from that, because the top 1% of the lawyers come from very particular places, Harvard, Brown, Princeton, things of that sort. They'll take those lawyers first because they've already trained them. They've always done these different things. And regardless of the fact of where she was, her being a public defender means that technically she may not have been the creme de la creme of that. Not to disrespect in any way, because getting a JD is a son of a bitch, I promise you. You spend all your time in the stack learning things, reading shit that you probably have no business reading, and feel some kind of way about it, and then you have to remember all of it. But more importantly, she really took the chances to say things. So let's begin and broach the topic. She said she wouldn't date a bus driver unless he owned his own bus. That opening statement. And start there.
Wow.
You know.
Well, wow. Honestly, I hate to keep using this, but it is about preference. Now, I think that's a pretty high standard. You know, that, I think it's a little unrealistic. But if that's what she wants, well, hey, you know, say that again. She said she wouldn't do what? Let me make sure I'm hearing you right.
She said she's not dating a bus driver unless he owns his own bus.
And what state is this that she's living in?
She lives in New York. What happened was Yamla Van Zandt, she was in a, I guess she was interviewing the Yamla Van Zandt, and she tried to build up this question with a whole bunch of shots towards black men. Or men in general. And she was saying something to the effect of, they're not leading, we're out earning them, we're making more college, you know, we're getting more college degrees. And like, she's dropping all of these stats trying to put men down. And then after that, like, she's just going through all of this stuff. So Yamla Van Zandt cut to the chase and was like, let me ask you something. Would you date a bus driver? And she stopped there and she paused for a second, like she was startled. And she goes, if he owns the bus. And that is what the firestorm and controversy was started by. So
she
basically what she's saying
silly.
Is, yeah, I would date him, but only if I owned one, if he owned one. Say what?
She sounds a little simple-minded, and I don't know what women like her are trying to prove by saying that they earn more, they whatever it is, they do more. Does that mean that these men are not worthy of dealing with you or getting in a relationship with you? I don't get it. I don't understand that. And I hear what you're saying. She's trying to put them down, but for what reason? What are you trying to put them down for? What was done to you to make you so jaded and cold towards these men that you just feel like none of them are good enough? I just don't get it. I really don't.
See, my position. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No,
I'm finished.
My position is that when you start judging women or men by how much money they make and not how much they can make you happy, that's a recipe for disaster. And
Absolutely. People
don't like to use the L word. People don't like to use the L word, and they say nowadays they say stan or whatever you want to call it. But the reality of it is that when you, first of all, for me, the egregiousness of this situation is really not in her preference, per se, where she says, oh, you know, I would only if he owns the bus. I don't really care about that. What I care about is what was said before that. All the insults and put-downs that were said, they're not even leading us. And, you know, we're out-earning them and this, that, and next thing. All of these very superficial monetary things. How do we adjust our crown and rest in our feminine divinity? If you got to watch this, you got to watch the interview or the clip of it, because it's disgusting. And for me, what I think in my heart of hearts is this is the number one problem with situations in the gender war. The gender war has limited relationships and love to what you call it, basically to monetary gain. And if they've limited men, you see men for monetary gain, and you see women just for looks. So on the men's side, they'll say, but y'all not fit, and y'all not this, and y'all not that. And then on the women's side, they'll say, well, y'all not making enough money, and y'all this, that, and the next thing. And these are very superficial things that really don't matter. If you've ever been married before, yes, money does matter. But to say a guy has to be earning this amount of money for me to deal with him, well, you're really limiting yourself. And I don't even want to go into the statistics of how many people make this kind of money, because that's irrelevant to me. What's relevant to me is you don't give a damn about love. You can care less about a man's emotional ability to connect with you and make you happy.
What happens, what is his money going to matter when you are on the brink of insanity and that man is an emotional rock and he can bring you back? What is your money going to matter when they have torn your ass up at the job that day and you come home and your husband is there and he totally calms you down, makes you feel like a woman, and that you could go back there and fight them people the next day? That has nothing to do with money. And the gender war makes this world, see, I listened to a lot of this stuff for like 2-3 years. And then what I found out was, is when I went into the world, it wasn't reality. It's not reality to be judging people according to how much money that they make solely. Now, I do agree that, you know what I'm saying, you need to make a certain amount of money just for basic peace and happiness, because we're living in a world now where everything is very expensive. But to say that your primary requirement of dealing with a man is that he has to be a business owner, he's got to make a certain amount of money or whatever, and that money is only made by a select few men. Who's saying that those men are going to love you? Who's saying that those men are going to be there with you? And the thing is that we're all here in our 50s. So what we know is once you cross 45, you start understanding that your body is not infinite. It's finite. You're going to have aches and pains in your joints. You're going to have all sorts of things. And if you don't have a woman or a man to be there for you when you start going through health issues, what the hell does your money matter? So for me, you know what I'm saying? For me, when I look at this whole situation, I just laugh because it's like, I guess I shouldn't laugh because it's pitiful. But the fact of the matter is I can see why we've had all of those situations. Because she says flippantly, she says, you know what I'm saying, it doesn't matter what color because I've dated them all. That's not something to be proud of.
Right.
That's not something to be proud of. Because if you dated them all and you couldn't find one of them to stay with you because of your attitude, and then they have, you know, because she said that, they done dug up all her past, right? So this woman had been saying crazy shit for a long time. And one of the things she was talking about was, you know, well, my first marriage didn't work because I was a problem. She said, because, like, I didn't support that man. I didn't give a damn about him. All I cared about was my career. Well, there you go. I don't know why everybody got upset about this, because all you got to do is listen to Ebony Williams' past and you will see all she ever cared about was money. But does that represent the mass of women? And does that represent the mass of black women? I don't think so. I really don't.
No.
Because
that is
what social media would tell you. But when you get in real life, I've seen women that will date a dude that's on food stamps. You understand? And that's just the reality. But again, my standpoint is always, how are you going to skip over love and go straight to how much money this guy makes? That's a recipe for disaster.
It is. It is. And I know women like this that are strictly about the superficiality of life. What can you do for me? You have to be at a certain tax bracket and this and this and that. But then they've gotten in these relationships, okay? They get what they want temporarily. Or some of them are long-term, but some of these women are abused physically by these men, mentally. These men do whatever they want to do, and these women, they take that abuse, that bad behavior, because they want to keep up an appearance, you know. And it's sad. It's really, really, really sad. And I feel sorry for them because I have a preference, but that's more – it's not about financial, that's for sure. You know, my preference is, treat me right. Be good to me. And as long as we got some kind of connection, I can work with you.
Right.
I sit back and I look at these women. And I have a couple of them that that I've been friends with for years. And I'm just like, and I see them being torn down by these men. And they're allowing it. It isn't that they're not aware. Just like that woman you're speaking on, she is aware of the kind of person that she is. Okay? They just choose to take this because they want to have, they want the bragging rights. They want to say, my man this and my man that. Yeah, but we can see that it's not good for you. It's unhealthy. And it starts to wear down on you, showing your face, your body, your attitude towards life, period, because their attitude starts to change. They go from being superficial to being very bitter.
very mean and nasty. And then they want to cry later on. I don't know why he do me like this, because that's what you asked for. You didn't ask to be treated good. You didn't ask for love. You asked for a certain social status and the tax bracket. That's what the hell you got. The universe is never going to tell you no, okay? Never tell you no. The universe always will say three things to you. Not right now, okay? I've got something better for you, and just wait, okay? That's it. So if that's what you want, that's what you get. It's sad to me. It really is. You know, I feel for him.
Yeah, matter of fact, going back to what we were saying, the funny thing about what I think what Evie K. Williams is doing, right, because Yanla Van Zandt has a natural bullshit detector.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows how to cut through certain things. And I think that a lot of times when people are thinking that they're this person or they're keeping up this image, she'll break you down. The other thing is, like, what we're witnessing is that a lot of times, like I, you know, the funny thing is, like, we used to talk about this all the time, you know, we talk about modern women and things of that sort, you know, and not even being chauvinistic, but the unrealistic expectations that someone would place on a relationship in order for them to have the feels and to have the look and to have the idea that they're doing something, as opposed to them actually really focusing on the nature of their relationship and building it so that money is just a tool that helps them to achieve more happiness by doing the things that they naturally already do. I don't think that she's unhappy. I don't think she's a happy person. I think that she hustles a lot. I think she has a whole bunch of things, and I think that when she's thumbing her nose down at somebody, it's because she doesn't want to return to where she came from, return to when she came, or she wants to keep this image or idea that she's a person. You know, she's some type of personality that people should hold on to, you know. And the funny thing is, like, when, you know, like me, which I think is hilarious now, that people will go out of their way to put on airs to make you think that they're someone that they're not. You know, and a lot of it has to do with, I wouldn't date him because of this. I say, yeah, but I bet you're lonely at night. You're sleeping by yourself.
Uh-huh.
You know, you might be able to get sex, but that's all you got. You're in this whole thing. Like, what were we talking about? You're just in this framework where you just men will come have sex with you, and that's about it. You know, like, I actually know three women in particular right now who literally they don't have relationships, but they pay for companionship. Just like men do, when they do the same thing.
Yeah,
and this one person, like, she literally pays, like, this dude, his whole job is to give you massages, make you feel good for the moment. You pay him his check and he leaves. And then damn sure ain't $40. It's a whole hell of a lot of money. You know, people pay to take him on vacation because he's eye candy. And for whatever you pay him, he's going to be that for you. It's no different. Like, you know, the funny thing is that some are nose up at women who do that, but there are men who do the same thing, you know, who go through the same things that are happening. And I think with Ebony, I think that, one, if she was really in a successful relationship, she wouldn't say that. Two, if you're always trying to find something that you haven't found within yourself, you're always going to be lost. I mean, that's my personal opinion. Like, for her to be like, oh, you know, blah, 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 if he owned a bus. I'm like, so what if he didn't own a bus? What if he was just a person where he worked for the bus, but he was compatible with you. He fit you, you know, completely as a person. You could talk to him till the cows come home. You know what I'm saying? It's just crazy.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I thought that was most of what all of us wanted, actually. Well, what most of us wanted. But, you know, that's a shame, man, because these people really do wind up being lonely and unfulfilled for, if not most of their life, the rest of their life. And that's not what it's about. Not for me, anyway. And I don't care. You could be in a cardboard box. But if the connection is there and I'm happy with you, well, I'm happy anyway with myself, but if you can add to my happiness, it's fine. I'll decorate it. I'll cut a fake window in there for some curtains. It doesn't matter, man. That superficial thing just to keep up a certain appearance. I can't see being that miserable inside, that cold inside, because that's not the way we were designed. It is what it is.
Well, I mean, personally, I would hate to say this, but I'm going to say it in front of Dawu so he can hear me, so he can get a good laugh of it. But Kevin Wichicourt was right in a lot of cases. He was absolutely on the money. And people were upset with him for saying the things that he's saying, being blunt about it. But he was honest. Like, a lot of people, they had unrealistic expectations, and they were fooling themselves,
yeah,
thinking that all the stuff, and everybody's real mad about him. Now that he's gone, everybody's cheering that he was gone. They were celebrating his death and shit. You see all these unrealistic ass motherfuckers just run around. I'm like, yo, you was unrealistic as crazy. Like, there's something wrong with you. Like, you really don't feel like you have to do something. You don't have to pour in. You just say, like, you think your face, my face card doesn't decline. No, you know, my face card doesn't decline. No, it declined. It gets rejected. It's a whole bunch of things. Bad things happen. You know, it's not one of those things.
I don't
where
know.
It's
like, to me, I think that the energy that was spent on this particular situation tells you that a lot of people are very scared at, you know what I'm saying? I think a lot of people are very scared that this is the way people really think. You know what I mean? So in other words, like, there's hundreds of videos out there about this woman. Hundreds. And I'm like, why y'all dragging this so hard? Like, this is only one person. And I'm like, no, they all think like that. No, that's what you think. And I'm not trying to be a simp, but what I'm saying is that, like, whenever I learned this from being in a psychology group. Like, I'm in a relationship psychology group. It's very fascinating to look at relationships from the psychological side. And one of the things that the woman that runs the group says is that whenever you guys respond by saying, but wait a minute, women do this too, or men do this too, you are responding from your what they call anxious attachment style or your trauma. So in other words, like, you're responding from your own personal experience and hurt. And to me, to be making all of these videos about this chick and downing her or whatever, or supporting her and stuff like that, it just shows you that a lot of people in their heart of hearts, they feel like they can't trust the opposite sex. And I think that that's what this whole thing highlighted. The universe gave us a gift. And it highlighted the fact that a lot of people just don't trust the opposite sex. They think the opposite sex is out to get them. They think that the opposite sex is out to swindle them. And whenever somebody says something stupid like what she said, they use it as validation. See, I told you. And I was talking about this in my life. I was talking about the dates that I go on. And when I be on these dates, in the first hour, all these chicks want to talk about is what their ex did to them. And I'm like, I'm here to talk to you. I don't give a damn about what your ex did. We don't have to spend an hour on that. Some have spent an hour and a half, or whenever, you know, we start talking, because my ex didn't do this and I, what do you like? And the thing is, number one, yes, that person probably did a lot to you. What was your part in it? But number two, what you doing sitting here with me if you haven't moved on?
Absolutely.
So this is what I think this Ebony Williams situation did. It exposed the fact that a lot of people are in this world are hurt. And when she said that, it triggered the hurt, and they needed to respond to it. And I just was like, I put this on my page. I said, I was going to deal with this last week, but y'all dragging it. But it just, it went all the way into the next week, and it just doesn't make any sense to me.
I think it falls on the fact that people don't know who they are. They get caught up in this. They get stuck, and they hold on to this hurt and pain and this anger. And a lot of it has to do, I believe, with the fact that they may not know how to find out who they are. They may not know how to go inside themselves and love themselves. I don't even know what to say about this because I'm just not I'm not there. I hate that these two words, gender war, actually exist. Because it's a bunch of bullshit that's going on with people. People need to, and not all of them, some people need counseling. But for the majority of people, they need to learn how to let this bitterness go. And realize just because you kissed a few frogs, that don't mean that your prince ain't waiting out there. Or just because you done ran into a couple of chicks on the hostel doesn't mean that you can't invite or be open to a loyal woman, a true woman that's going to provide that safe space for you and soften as that female that needs to be in your life. This bitch, oh, Lord, have mercy. You know, I never turned bitter. I never turned bitter. And I was in a real, all my relationships were toxic. They were different, but they were all toxic, just the same. Even my marriage, but I didn't turn into a bitter person. I just was happy that I finally got my freedom. And when I say I got my freedom, I realized who I was. I didn't hold anything against any other man. You know, I've always been open to something new, somebody different. It didn't matter to me about that, their status or their money or anything. As long as I had that connection with them, I was good. And I don't know. I had to stop being so selfish and saying, you know, if I did it, anybody can do it. They shouldn't even be holding on to it. But I realized it's not as easy for some people as it was. Well, shit, it wasn't even easy for me. But I don't know. It's simple-minded and it's very selfish for them to just hold on to that and judge all men as the same way and all women, just generalize them and put them in that box like that. Because there's so many beautiful people out here that are worthy of being with somebody and treating them right, you know? And everybody don't have that kind of money. So, I don't know, man.
I don't know. I mean, you know what? It kind of reminds me of, you know, because we talked about Brittany Renner, right? And so she married PJ Washington, and then she divorced him just as quick. And now she's complaining about where the dudes that's going to marry her, that's going to take care of her, that's going to, you know, pay for her lifestyle and everything else like that. And I'm like, wait a second. So you duped this one dude, you played him out in front of social media. You know, he thinks it's cheaper to keep her. He marries you. You know, you play him again, you divorce him. And now you're out here hanging your shingle out, hoping that people are going to come and see you again. I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
So this kind of goes into what I was talking about tonight, where it's a multi-tiered answer, and the first tier of it is that I can think a lot of people, once they get with a good person, that person maximizes their self-esteem. You know what I mean? Like, so in other words, like, you thought you couldn't get nobody, and you damn sure thought you couldn't get nobody wholesome. So now you get with somebody that's super wholesome, and you look at yourself and say, I ain't as ugly as I thought I was. I'm not as unattractive as I thought I was, and maybe I can get better. And that's where the problem is because I've always said, I believe this in my heart of hearts, and nobody can tell me no different. God is only going to send you 3 to 4 good people in your life as far as like a mate. And if you screw all 3 or 4 of them up, you don't get another chance. And some people would say that's the scarcity mindset. I don't care. I just know that God is only going to send you a certain amount of people in your life, and it's not going to be one after the other. It's going to be years in between them. And if you fuck that up,
then you gotta wait. You gotta wait your turn again. You gotta get back in line. And I think that what happens with some of these people is they got sent a good person, and like I said, they didn't think that they could get somebody good anyway. So they're like, well, hell, I stopped on floor number 5. Let's see what's on floor number 10. Oh, shit, let's see what's on floor number 12. Let's see what's on floor number 13. And you keep going up, and then you finally get to the top floor, and there's nothing there.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, so now you want to go back down to the other floors, but maintenance has come, and they destroyed those floors. Those floors are not there anymore. I can tell you thousands and thousands and thousands of stories of people I either counseled or talked to, and they're like, I had a good thing, and I messed it up. Why did you mess it up? Because you thought you could get better based on the fact that that person loved you and that person was the right person for you. But you got greedy, and you thought you could get some more. I feel like Brittany Renner felt like maybe she could get a top-tier NBA player like LeBron or maybe Steph Curry. You know what I'm saying? And, both those dudes are married, but I'm saying like them. And now she's realizing that you have ran your mouth on social media so much, and you have shown so much of the ugly side of you that don't nobody want to touch you other than to have sex with you. Now, mind you, Brittany Renner is extremely beautiful. I've heard people say, oh, she ain't all that. I don't know what y'all looking at. You know what I'm saying? But nevertheless, like, her personality is really ugly. It's really ugly. And I wouldn't touch a Brittany Renner with a 10-foot pole. I really wouldn't, as far as, like, being serious. Now, the other side of it, catch me on the wrong day. 2 or 3 gummies, and maybe I might try it. But,
oh, Lord. I have a question, though. These women, can they provide for themselves? Do they have any skills where they can make their own money? I mean, I don't know. Because if you say that she wants a man that can keep her lifestyle up, which she's become accustomed to, can she keep her lifestyle up herself? Can she do anything for herself besides look pretty on the outside?
Mm. Wow. My thing I watched this thing with Jalen Rose, right? So Jalen Rose on his show, I forgot the dude that goes with him, and he was talking about how the groupie situation works in the NBA. And so, he's like, you'll have your girl will be sitting courtside, and then he said your side will be, maybe like 5 rows over to the left. And then he said in the middle, he said the girls that everybody would mess with was considered roadkill. And there was a whole roadkill section. And the weird thing about it, right, when he said roadkill section, because there are women that are routinely, like when they want to have parties or anything else like that, these are women that are allowed in. And so that he would call that the roadkill. And so literally, they were like women who all of them, they look really, really good. They look fantastic. They probably have a particular skill set of doing certain things, signing NDAs, what have you. But their job is to look like a piece of eye candy, Now, now imagine, people called you ugly growing up and did all kinds of stuff like that. And then literally you get into the NBA and these super fantastic IT models and everything else, they're trying to get at you because they know you got the bag. To me, I feel like Brittany Renner, she's becoming a personality, but she literally secured her future by having a baby for PJ Washington, or a couple babies, right? So she knows that money is going to go in and fill her lifestyle. That's the name of the game. How can you fill my lifestyle? Matter of fact, I forgot the football player's name. He plays for Buffalo now. And so the person who was in the Busta Rhymes and Maria Carey, maybe if you give it to me, Tay Heckert is much older than all the other, IG models, former, whatever. And so when she was dealing with the player from Buffalo, you know, she was like trying to lock him down. And he's like, I'm just here for the fun. I'm not here to, you're not going to be, I'm not having any children with you. This is not going to happen the way that you happen. And he's like, I enjoy your company. And that's about it. And she was hurt behind that. She was really hurt. But it was like she spent her time, you know, being the pair to different people. Like, I don't know. And it's like when I look at Brittany Renner, like her even complaining about, yo, who's going to simp hard enough to keep my lifestyle going, you know. And there probably will be a simp. But, like, it's nuts. Like, it's super nuts. It's just like Drake's baby mama, Rose Devine, she was damn near doing porn, you know, and she was dancing everything else. White girl with a very large key, you know, she made Drake give it up. She made Drake give it up. So now their son and her, like he pays her to be quiet, literally. That's crazy to me. Like, I don't know. What do y'all think?
Well, that just, like I said, I want to know if these women have anything else going for them where they can take care of themselves. And I don't understand. I will never understand that. I just want to be, you know, a kept woman. I want to be kept in a certain lifestyle. I've never had that mindset. So I don't know. I can't speak too much on it, but like I said, I just want to know what else can they do besides look pretty, because it seems to me that this is empty little empty seashell. That's it.
What do you think, Dawood?
You know, you said a lot, and Look, first of all, Jalen Rose is talking about how your girl is there, and then you got the whatever section there, right? And and the thing is that, hold on a second. The thing is, to me, is this. The thing is this, bro. Like Jalen Rose, what you call it? Jalen Rose got cheated on by Molly Curran, and that's why they didn't get married. And my standpoint has always been, if you stay out there and you date a whole bunch of toxic people in the realm of having fun, then you're going to get emotionally damaged. And when you get emotionally damaged, you then attract people into your life that's damaged also or want to damage you. So you could sit there like a Jalen Rose and sit there and brag about how, you know, we had our woman and then we had the smash section and all this other stuff. And you could brag about that, but what did that do to you? What did that do to you? And how did that affect your ability to connect with somebody going forward? Here's a guy that's handsome, had a good basketball career, now has a good media career, and is still having a problem connecting with somebody, the right person. The Molly Curran chick was super beautiful, but obviously she was not wholesome. And so my thing is that, like, we can sit here and we could talk all day about what, you know what I'm saying, what some people are and what they do and how they're not doing what they're supposed to do or whatever. But really, it's on you, the healthy, wholesome individual. It's on you. Do you choose to mess around in that world, or do you choose to put yourself in a position to attract healthy, wholesome people? And I think for most of the people, the answer is number one, is just continue messing around in that world and think that a good, wholesome person will just drop on you.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen. That does not happen.
No, because most good, wholesome people are not superficial like that. You know, this takes me back to that time when you had that show where we watched that video about the girl who didn't want to do anything, and she expected her expectations for her husband is to do everything, take out the trash, cook, pay all the bills, make sure everything is taken care of, and she doesn't have to do anything. You know, and she wasn't what they consider very attractive, but that was besides the point. She didn't want to do anything. And I don't understand some of this stuff. I don't get it. I don't know.
No. That's, to me, I think that's absolutely wild as anything else. But you know what? Let's move on to the next topic. I'm trying to recall. Hold on. Let me go to the chat so we can go pull this up. Hold on. So we have like 20 billion things in the chat. Wendell put that other thing, the toxicity of the friend zone. What's the thing? Hold up a second. The love is blind. Ah, the love is blind. Remember that. Ah. So y'all, here it is. We're on a TV show. We're really not into each other. But I propose to you, and you accept my proposal, and I give you a ring. Then come to find out that you're attracted to the other guy that you've been seeing this whole entire time. You want to break up, but you want to keep the ring.
Nope. I said it before. No, I don't think she's entitled to keeping that ring. And by law, I believe she's supposed to return it anyway. And his attitude, I think, about him, you know, telling her to keep the ring or whatever, it's probably because he doesn't want to go through all of that, going to court, that legal stuff that they have to go through. And he'd just rather just walk away and go, you know, heal away from her. He doesn't want any kind of attachment to her. I don't believe these women should be entitled to that ring. You break that promise, because that's what it is. You're giving your word. It's like a contract. Then you should lose any of the benefits that you were going to have if you had gone through with it. No, take that ring back. Mm-mm. And it's
wow.
The nerve of these women to believe that they are entitled to keep that ring. No. Man done spent all that money on that damn ring, and it's not even about the amount of money, it's the fact that he is being a man about it and going to you with his heart in his hand. And you just stepped on it. You're in love with somebody else, or you're attracted to somebody else. I mean, and most of those relationships, when these women do this kind of shit, it's a temporary lustful thing. And if they do, these relationships wind up working out, there's something flawed within it. Usually that man does not stay dedicated to that woman. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Dawood, what do you think?
Say it again, bro. I'm sorry. Somebody had to text me something crazy.
The dude proposes to the woman on the TV show. She ends up liking the other guy that she's still with to this day, and she refuses to give the ring back.
You said she wants him to give the ring back?
No. She has the ring. Like he, right?
Uh-huh.
He gave her an engagement ring because she accepted his proposal. Now she's saying that she doesn't want to be with him anymore. She wants to be with the other guy, but she's not trying to give the ring back.
I don't know. This is kind of dicey, son, because, like, I've heard, like, once you give a ring, you're not supposed to ask for it back. And I'm struggling to remember. One celebrity just went through this, like, a couple of months ago, where he gave somebody, like, a huge ring. It cost a lot of money, and then asked for the ring back. And I think Corey Holcomb was tearing him apart. Like, you ain't supposed to ask for that ring back. That's not male behavior or whatever. I don't know. I really don't. I think that, number one, to give somebody an engagement ring, you got to be damn sure that this person is the person you want to be with. And that will eliminate whether you're getting it back or not. But things happen. You know what I'm saying? You can't be sure of everything. But if I give somebody a ring and then they don't want to be with me, I don't think I want that ring back. Because all it's going to do is remind me of who they were. Now, you could say, well, they could sell it back to the jeweler or whatever. For how much? It ain't going to be for the same price that you bought it for. I don't know. Like, first of all, I don't know. This goes into my whole feeling about wedding rings and engagement rings and how much they should cost. And now we're getting into money again. And to me, like, if we're going to constantly judge relationships by money and things bought and things like that, this is one of the things that's stopping us from really having good, wholesome relationships. I mean, that's just my opinion. Like, well, I'm not going to buy somebody a $200 ring that I love. You understand? At this stage in my life, it would probably be, you know, something decent. But that's yours. And if it doesn't work out, you keep it and you walk. Now go get another one. And that's how I was taught in Islam. You understand? I was always taught that, like, there's certain rights that women have. And if you give a woman a ring or whatever, whether it works out or whether it doesn't work out, that was your expression of your love. And to be taking it back is just kind of lame. So, I don't know. I think that that's kind of petty, though. For you to give somebody a ring, even if you say, well, I choose somebody else. Obviously, you didn't do your due diligence. Because if that's even possible, then that means that, did you even know y'all was in love? I mean, you understand what I'm saying, Danielle? It's like, if I give a woman a ring, and it's possible that she could say, well, I like this other man, but I'm keeping the ring. First of all, I don't know why she would want to keep the ring in the first place if she chose somebody else. But second of all, I wouldn't even want it back. But it would seem to me that if I give you a ring, I know for a fact that I'm in your heart and we're going to be together. But if I'm giving you a ring and you choose another man, I don't think that we were standing on firm ground. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Honestly, this is just my personal feeling on it. Just as you said, you wouldn't want it back because of, I don't know, everything that you said. But for me, I wouldn't want to keep the ring because it is attached to you. And I am leaving you because I want somebody else. I don't want to bring you into my new relationship. So that ring signifies an attachment to you. But I'm giving it back. And I get what you're saying, and I think it's pretty noble for what they taught you about allowing the woman to keep the ring. But honestly, I think it should be given back because that was her accepting that ring was a promise to go ahead and marry you, to become one with you. When you break that promise, then I think everything that was given at that moment, everything that was given at that moment when you wanted to dedicate your love to that person and become one, I think it went out the window when she decided that she wanted to give herself to someone else. It's too much attached to that ring.
Let me do something that I really hate doing, and that is play devil's advocate. What if she found something crazy about this guy? And, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just decided, I ain't going forward with that. I still think the ring is a problem. But to me, this means that this couple really didn't bond well enough for them to be thinking about getting married. I've never given a woman a ring in marriage or whatever that I didn't know she was 100% into me and I wasn't 100% into her. I've never done that. I can't understand that shit at all. And I'm not putting all the blame on the dude, because obviously there's blame on the woman also. But, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, how many women do you know that, you know, they was going to get married to a dude and they just up and decided to marry somebody else? I don't know any. Like, that's a bizarre circumstance right there.
No, I don't really can't recall any women in my circle that I know that have done that. but this is just my opinion. I can't really speak on it. You know, I just feel like that ring is just, it's attached to the man that gave it to them. And every time I look at that ring, I'm going to see him. And she might feel a certain kind of way about telling him that she wants to be with someone else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it might just, it might bring her down every time she looks at it. I don't know. I wouldn't keep it.
I stated for the record that her keeping the ring where people would see her as a bum, but, you know, that was something we were talking about in the chat and anything else. But, you know, I like to do the fact checking, put all the stuff so we can talk about it during the course of things. So four little engagement ring facts. It originated in Rome as a sign of ownership. They did not originally have diamonds. Diamonds gained popularity in the 1940s. The company, I forgot the name of the company, but it's a modern-day company that we have here. The company decided that what they marketed towards was that a person would spend 3 months of their salary to get an engagement ring, no matter what that was. And that idea of spending that is how they got the idea of charging so much for an engagement ring. All right. And now it says also millennials are choosing diamonds less often than everything else. All right. So the funny thing is that gemmed rings have studied into the age of enlightenment. Posey rings began to circulate amongst the patrols that these rings were intricately engraved and hid inscriptions of love poetry on the inside of the band. And with that, at times, a silver Posey engagement ring would be exchanged for a gold iteration during the wedding ceremony, right? Oh, De Beers, that's the company. All right, so even though the Archduke was the first to propose to the diamond room, he's by no means a trendsetter. In fact, the diamond engagement ring didn't become popular until 1947 when De Beers, the British company that mined diamonds in South Africa, launched their advertising campaign with the help of Hollywood stars and throwing diamonds forever. Diamond engagement rings were skyrocketed and popularized for the first time since their stateside appearance in 1840. Wow. So, right, so when we talk about who gets the ring, so, right, so what happens after a broken engagement? You know, it's a mostly confusing, painful experience, whatever, and most people don't have that, but, you know, it is a conditional gift. And when the engagement is broken, the engagement ring should be returned to the giver. Right. Under law, three elements must be present for the ring to be considered a gift. One, the giver's intent is that the ring is a gift. The giver physically gives the ring to the receiver, receives the ring as a gift and its condition. Right. The case that involves a gift being revoked when all three elements are present, the court holds that given this amount, in case the ring, the gift is a gift and the receiver can retain that gift under those three principles. All right. And if it's a conditional gift under that, you know, can prove that, you know, the court can find that it's a conditional gift in which the gift given to the receiver with the expectation that an action will place. Without that action, without that said, agreed upon action, and the conditions of the gift is not met, right, the giver of the gift has the right to receive the gift back. Most courts classify engagement ring as a conditional court. Now, the funny thing is I've seen this on Judge Judy multiple times where person, you know, person's like, oh, I'm not giving him back the ring, or the person sold the ring. Like one woman, she literally sold the ring. She sold the ring, and she said, so you enjoyed the ring? She's like, you owe him this amount of money, and she's like, oh, I'm supposed to get this money. She's like, you should have sold the ring. You know how Judge Judy is, but you should have gave the ring, right?
No punches.
A lot of times when people are thinking about the engagement rings and stuff like that, and they break it. You know, personally, you know, in my opinion, you should give the ring back. Personally, I can say what happened to me, and I don't mind, I'll be transparent, right? I bought a certain ring. Like, I got cornered in a store, Boscov's, just for everybody to know. I got cornered in a store at Boscov's. Boscov's has a jewelry section, right? If you live in Albany, New York, you know that Boscov's will kind of, it's a department store, right? So I got cornered, so I bought this engagement ring, right? So the engagement ring was worth a certain amount of money, right? That person took the ring, traded the ring in, and got a different ring and told me, I can do whatever I want with it because it's my ring. And it was cracked, it was this, it was that. You know, they were just lying to me, whatever they lied to me. But they basically used it as a down payment to get something that they really wanted that I no longer had no connection to. Now, knowing what I know now, because I didn't have any legal training or anything else like that, then, I could have just been like, let's go to court, and you're going to give me back the ring because that's not what I gave you the ring for. You know, this is what this was supposed to hold being was happening. But now that I think about it, like, I think there should be something about duress, you know, buying a ring of duress or being forced to do certain things, because that also most certainly happens too, you know, with everything that goes on. It's a little wild, you know, but he should got his ring back. And more importantly, you know, I don't know why people are getting engaged on these shows anyway. I know, love at first sight. I know.
Well,
this
is what I'm saying, son. Like, this is a show you got engaged on. Much like the situation
right.
you was in where the person cornered you. Again, I don't know. If I was in your life at that time when that happened, you know what I would have said. I'd have said, you're going to marry this chick, bro? You know what I'm saying? And if you would have proceeded with that, then you would have had no reason to complain. I feel like when you give a ring to somebody and I'll give you an example. I was talking to the chick 2 years ago, and she told me, I mean, this chick was kind of off the wall, but she told me that she was with a guy, and the guy, her and the guy was together for a little while, and she literally had 3 abortions by this guy. 3. 3 abortions.
Wow.
And she said after, I mean, this woman was so non-self-aware that she did one of the funerals for the abortion on Facebook.
Oh, God.
So,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. So just imagine you sitting there, you listening to the shit while you eating with somebody on a dinner date, and you got to keep a straight face. So anyway, yeah, exactly. So anyway, bong, after this story, she told me, yeah, and that bastard didn't even say yes when I proposed after all that. See, this is what I'm talking about.
Wait a minute, but what I want to ask. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You had 3 abortions by this guy, which means that he didn't want to commit to you enough to keep the child that he kept busting off in you and making, and then you try to give him a ring? Like, I just have to ask myself, or we don't know. We don't know the context of what happened in that situation when the dude gave her a ring and she didn't want to give it back. But the reality of it is that, like, he more likely than not didn't know her well enough to be giving her that ring. Some people be doing stuff like this. Like, they'd be like, oh, I really love you. Hey, check this out. This is a ring. And you're like, what? They're trying to force you into a situation where you're going to stay with them because they have serious abandonment issues. You understand what I'm saying? What we're talking about is surface level, but there's deeper issues here where if you're going to give a woman a ring, again, that you're not even sure wants to be with you, there's a problem here. There's a bigger problem than whether they're going to give the ring back or not. To me, what it speaks to is you didn't even know if that person loved you enough to actually marry you, but you just, here, take this ring. And when they want to be with somebody else, you got the nerve to be mad? You understand? I don't know. And again, I used that situation with that sister, so it's not like I'm talking about men, because here's a woman that had 3 abortions and then proposed to this guy. Like, you didn't have enough
pain. That
don't
make no sense.
I mean, well, you know what, bro? Like, people, you know, depending on their ideation and the different types of trauma that they've been through, to her, that might have seemed completely normal and thought it was okay. Like, I don't know anybody doing funeral processions for abortions that they had. That's kind of wild. That really makes me question, you know, where she is mentally as a person. However, for her trying to hold on to somebody who she clearly had multiple abortions by almost makes no sense. Like,
it is crazy.
And so my thing
is to ask the question.
Let the record show. It was 3.
Oh,
3.
Have mercy. I can't even process that.
3 is the magic number.
I can't even put that together because why? Yeah, it makes you wonder what, where is her? Oh God, I don't know. I can't process that. Why are you staying with someone and you allowing yourself to keep getting? I guess because the resources were available to her and that's all she thought about. You know, it was a form, I guess, of birth control for her. I don't know, but I can't. I wanted to ask you gentlemen the question about women proposing to men. What is your opinion? Would you accept that? How does that make you feel? A woman goes out, she buys a ring, and she gets down on her knee, and she asks you to marry her. I don't agree with it, but I just want you guys' opinion on that. How does that make you feel as men?
You take a stab at it first, Molly.
No, I ain't going front. That's happened to me before, so I can't sit here and act like that.
Word?
I didn't know that happened. Yeah, it did.
You never
really
told
did.
Me about that, son.
Yeah,
how
and I wasn't
going
to tell you about it either.
Okay, well, it's out there now. So how did that make you feel when that happened?
Being that I wasn't as how can I say it? I wasn't as conscious as I am now. My male ego was very involved in saying no. But at the same time, I can also say that the person wasn't the right person to marry. And literally and figuratively, when they asked me, because my male ego got involved, I was able to say no. But they got down on one knee in front of me. And they would, you know, they were leveraging me. I was getting leverage. You know, it's just my ego was bigger than my heart at that time. So I was able to say no. But chances are I might have been married a whole hell of a lot earlier had I went for it. But it did make me feel like because, you know, the traditional gender role proposing has always been led from the man to go speak to the woman. And so when she did it, like I felt like she was saying something about me. In general, I thought that she was basically treating me like I was a bitch. You know, I thought that she was saying that I was that, you know, and my ego was involved. I was like, oh, hell no. You know, I was just like, you know, on it like that.
Okay. Dawood?
I that never happened to me before. But here's what I would say. I'm a water sign. I'm a very fluid person. Do I want a woman to propose to me? Not really. But if I was with somebody, man, and they was blowing my socks off and, you know what I mean? And I don't mean that sexually, although
wait,
I would like that too.
Not the blowing your socks off. Not the blowing
you know,
off your socks.
How do they say in legal terms? Not limited or excluded to. Not limited to. But
okay.
Nevertheless, like, if I was with somebody that checked all my boxes, man, I don't think I would care. I'm not even going to hold you. I don't think I would care. Like, I really don't. Like, that's really just the kind of time I'm on. Like, I don't know how to explain it without sounding crazy, but, like, for me, like, I am looking for somebody like that. And I'm not saying like some impossible person with all these requirements, but it's the way that you treat me and the way you make me feel. Because I know me, like I'm a romantic guy and I treat women very well. And if I ever find somebody that treats me like I treat them, if they propose to me, I don't even think I would notice. You know what I'm saying? That's just
okay.
What it is. Like,
okay.
I feel like, and this is what I said before and I'll say again. When it comes to this marriage thing, it just keeps getting thrown around like it's an everyday thing. And you should marry somebody that you totally like. First of all, you totally admire, you totally adore, and they adore you. That's the foundation. And basically, even though y'all fight periodically, y'all love each other so much that you'd be like, "What's your stupid ass? What we eating tonight?" You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Where
well, yeah,
it's
you're,
like,
you're
y'all fight.
Yeah.
Right. And as I said before, like, to me, the ideal person is a person that fights for the relationship
but doesn't fight to win. You know what I'm saying? So if I fight to win, we both lose. If you fight to win, we both lose. But if you're fighting for the relationship, we always going to win. And that's a very simple concept that so many people's pride get in the way of it happening. Why can't we fight for the relationship? Why you got to win? Why do you always have to win? Why do I always have to win? My father is that way. My father, when we talk or whatever, he's got to be right. And he will make stuff up. He'll throw in stuff that has nothing to do with nothing just to be right. I can't stand that shit. I really can't stand that shit. If you start making points that make my point sound stupid, I got to shut up. Because basically you're the superior one in the situation now. If you make points that don't make any sense and have nothing to do with what I'm talking about and I prevail, guess what? You should shut up. But it's when we're going to keep on going just so we win. Fuck that. And that's the kind of situation I don't ever want to be in ever again. And so if I met somebody and they was fighting for the relationship and they wasn't fighting to win, I don't give a damn if you propose to me with a Batman Dakota ring.
I hear you. That's a very healthy attitude, and I agree with you on the fighting. You should be fighting for the relationship, not to win and be above your partner, because that's not what it's about. I agree with you 100%. I don't agree with the woman proposing to the man because I'm very traditional in that, but everything else can be a go. You know, it just, to me, I don't think I will ever be open to getting down on my knee. For one, my knees is fucked up. But just proposing to a man, y'all know I'm silly, but, you know, just proposing to the man. Now, what I believe if this was discussed in privacy between you two, and she mentioned, you know what, I want to get married. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I know who you are, I know who I am, and we just work. You are the one, and I want to get married. That I understand, but that the woman actually going out and buying a ring, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I really feel the same way, but go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to repeat what I said. I think you have a very, very healthy attitude towards a relationship, period. And it's nothing wrong with that. It's just that one thing I cannot agree with you on. That woman proposing to the man, nope. And I'm about as wholesome as they come, but I'm very traditional when it comes to that. Anything else, we can team up and do. But that right there, no. That I'm leaving that in God's hands and the man's hands. That's it.
Right. No, and honestly, I don't think that will ever happen. You know what I'm saying? I really don't. I don't think it will ever happen. But I'm just saying that if I was so in love with you, I wouldn't really care. But if you were somebody that I wasn't sure of, I ain't proposing and I ain't accepting your proposal. That's just the reality of it. But, like, if I was with that chick where you call me and I'm like, yeah, I'm on the phone with my girl, that kind of woman, I don't care.
And it wouldn't matter where she did it at either? Okay.
Nope. Okay. Nope. Because I know I want to be with her, so I really wouldn't care. You know, that kind of shit to me is like, well, first of all, there has to be a question. There has to be a question as to why you feel the need to propose. If the tradition is the guy proposes and you're proposing, why do you feel the need to propose? Do you think that you're going to lose him? Do you think that, you know, you need to push him because he's not moving fast enough? Like, to me, there's issues there.
Right. I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I do agree with that. Yep. It doesn't feel right to me. It feels off balance. It really does.
Yeah.
And I know women that have done that. That I've gone shopping with them when they were ring shopping. So I'm going to ask, okay, well, what you think? Girl, what you think about this? I don't think anything about it because I don't think you should be doing this. That was my answer. But if this is what you want to do, well, it's a beautiful ring. And then what kind of ring do you get the man that you're proposing to? Do you buy something with, do you buy a band with diamonds in it, or is it what? All of that, I don't know.
We're living in a different time, though, and we're all 50, you know what I'm saying? We're in our 50s,
right.
But, you know, we're living in a different time, and these young people are changing everything. So
yeah.
I guess we got to get used to this because, you know, going forward, all they talk about is gender equality and gender neutral and gender is fluid. So you're going to see a lot more women proposing, I think, going forward. I don't think anybody in our age group would do this shit. But if you was a 50-year-old woman dating a 20-year-old guy, which, you know what I'm saying, or a guy in his 20s, which God help you, good luck, or you was a 50-year-old dude dating a 20-year-old woman, I think you have much more of a chance of this shit happening. Because in their generation, they don't care. They don't care about none of the stuff that we grew up in. They don't care about none of the social norms that we grew up with. They are very happy to break those shits. And quite frankly, I just think that you're going to see that a lot more. Like, think about it this way. Like, there's certain things that are now, I don't want to offend anybody, so I'll just say it in general, but there's certain things that are now more acceptable that was not acceptable when we were younger. And I think that, honestly, the world is better for it. And I was trying to talk to one of these dudes in my class the other day because, you know what I'm saying, like people be watching way too much YouTube and conspiracy shit. So this dude was copying the whole Obama. It's Obama that allowed all of this stuff to happen and blah. You know what I'm talking about. And I said,
yeah,
he didn't, bro. I said, bro, the world was going that way anyway. You think Obama had that much power? Obama stand over and snapped his fingers and all of a sudden everything was accessible? Get the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I think that people be watching too much YouTube. So it's easy to blame Obama for the reason why the world is. Obama has been president for some 10 years now. And you're saying that he still got power over the whole world? Because every day we go on, a lot of stuff, more stuff is being accepted. And quite frankly, as long as I'm not involved in it and they don't try to push it on me, I don't really care. Because the thing is that, I don't know, I don't want to get on my soapbox and start preaching about all of this stuff, but I just think to me, the bottom line is that you're going to see a lot more of this from the younger generation. We may not be down with it, and we may not see it in our generation, but that younger generation, they don't do a goddamn thing that we used to do.
Yeah, you're right. I agree. You're absolutely right. People, but you know what that comes from? People need to point their finger. They need to have something to point at. It doesn't matter what it is. And as you said, like Obama he's the flavor of the decade to blame everything on, you know. So I get it, and yeah, I mean, I'm not closed off. I understand times are changing and people's mindsets are changing. I totally understand that because there were things that we did when we were coming into our own, and that our parents just was like, I can't believe this shit is taking place, you know. So it's not too much different as far as things changing. We dress a certain way that they didn't deem appropriate, and it was just totally wrong. And some of this crap that's going on, I just don't agree with. I'm not judging, but it is what it is. You know, life happens, and things are going to change mindsets. But you're right. This generation now, they give absolutely zero fucks about what somebody says, how things are done, and they are determined to make things the way that they want it to be. And guess what? Maybe that's just the way it's supposed to go. They don't believe in being stagnant, that's for sure. They keep things moving. I'm not going to leave love alone, okay?
Right.
I just can't do it. I cannot disregard it and allow a certain level of interference from the outside world. These kids, they just let everything in. You know, they allow the opinions of others. And you're right, it's not just YouTube, it's social media, period, that these people just live through. It's like they don't have their own identity. They have to go for what other people are saying if other if they get enough comments of the same exact thing, well, that's how their life is supposed to be. If that's what they say it is, then that's how I'm going to live. That's how I have. That's the appearance that I have to keep up. I've never been the one to jump into that follow train. I just can't. I couldn't. And that's pretty much the way that they are. And then there's there's a level of disrespect that has been dismissed. Like they use this word, these couples, these young couples that are together, it's okay for the guy to refer to his female as bitch all the time, as if he's calling a sweetheart a baby. It's like a term of endearment for them now. And I don't understand it. It makes me cringe. I watch some of these videos and some of these, what do you call it? These couples, they are provided with these homes and a certain lifestyle, but they have to have it all filmed and put on YouTube or wherever. And this is just the kind of relationship that they have. This is how they talk to one another, and it's okay. And I don't understand that. I will never understand that. You know, I was watching this one, the girl is with this guy, and he was playing a little prank. They have these prank wars. That's what seems to be the popular thing, right? So he's on the phone with one of his boys, and he's like, here she come now. I'm going to tell her, you know, I got somebody else pregnant. I'm going to talk to you and say I got somebody else pregnant, you know, like she's not sitting there. And he did that, and he gets out the car still talking to his boy, and she's in the mirror fixing her eyelashes somehow. Well, I'm glad it ain't me. Yeah, all I can say is that baby gonna have a big ass head, and it's like she's okay with it. And then he gets back in the car, right? And she says, he says, guess what? I got something to tell you. She was like, what? Your baby gonna have a big ass head, big ass nose, or something? He's talking about what? And she says, well, I'm glad it ain't me. All I know is I'm going to Miami. I'm going to Miami. And he says, bitch, no, you're not. And I'm like, really? Just like that. It's okay. I don't know. I can't get into that. I'm not into that. Last time a guy called me a bitch, I gave him a gut shot. And he thought it was funny until I popped him in his stomach. And it's like, I'm not one of them. You're going to respect me. That's not funny or cute to me. Okay? It holds a negative thing to it for me. It's disrespectful. So don't you ever come out your mouth and call me a bitch again, playing or angry or whatever. It's not like that. But they use this term loosely like it's a term of endearment. I don't get it.
Well, I got to go, but I got to ask you one quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Not even during intimacy?
Now, see, now you're tapping into it. See, I'm a switch in the bedroom, so of course, that's fine. But
okay, I was just checking. I don't like that word and blah, 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 but wait a minute. It depends on where it's being used. But
absolutely.
No, I agree with you. Like, these young people be calling each other, like, men call women bro and my nigga. And I just like the first time I heard that, I was in the Bronx and I was at a McDonald's there because, during the pandemic, they just sent me to the Bronx a lot. And these two chicks came in there and they was like, bro, the line is long, bro. And I thought they were talking to me. And then I realized they were talking to each other. And I'm like, wait a minute. Girls call each other bro now? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and it's
they
like,
do.
That's the term of endearment. And to me, that's crazy. I'm never going to do that.
I can't get with it. I can't. I just can't. You know? No, and to answer the question with that one, no, you can't call me bro in the bedroom. No.
Yes, yeah.
I hope not.
I hope not.
Ain't nothing masculine about me in the bedroom. I'm sorry. It ain't happening. Okay.
So. All right, y'all. I got to go. I got a consultation coming in.
All right. This is what we're going to do. We're going to end it right here. Thank y'all for coming out. It's been a pleasure. Great conversation. This is the 50 Radio Universe of For Real Entertainment Network, a.k.a. The Starship, where we boldly go with Paul and take us before. Make sure that you come on tomorrow and check out what we have tomorrow. Danielle?
Don't have a topic yet. I'm going to tease y'all until I come up with something, but you definitely have something tomorrow on the Erotic Love Zone.
all night or the Erotic Love Zone every day of the week. We here at Video Radio Universe have something for you every day, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Rock out, watch the socks out. Make sure that you check everything else out. Please keep the replays. We're doing everything else. Catch us on CastBox, Twitter. CastBox, iHeartRadio. Many different platforms, everything else, iTunes. We're here. Make sure you check us out. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for another edition of War Council. We love you. Take care. God bless you. Good night. And this is Dave. Where's that? Nope. This is the weirdest thing. Oh, okay. There we go.